Come on.
Just hang on. Why are you always rushing me all the time?
Because we've got things to do. It's busy work. Oh. Stop it. Paul, that's just buffoonery. Stop being a buffoon.
That's a beautiful cup of tea you made me, Cecil.
Shut up.
Absolutely beautiful.
I'm a buffoon.
It's going to make me burp. I just never...
Idiot.
I'm not a buffoon, Cecil. I'm just a bully aunt.
You are an idiot. Absolute idiot. Now, let's just get cracking on, Paul, because I've got to go to the post office to have my passport renewed. If I don't do it this month, then I'll have to do it next month, and I don't want to do it next month. I want to do it this month. So, I'm going to recap what you did in your diary last week. Last week, we went on holiday to Filey because me and my wife, Margaret, were having a second honeymoon. And we took Paul and we all shared a trio room where we all had a bed. We had a lovely time. Margaret and Godiva was there and Cecil was there. It was lovely. And then... At the B&B, there was a ladyboy, wasn't there, Paul?
Well, I don't know if it was a ladyboy. Says this thing in the diary is 2003. It's a very different climate back then. You were allowed to be slightly disturbed by if you weren't sure if it was a man or a woman. Now you have to accept it, otherwise you get berated by society. So in the diary, yes, there was a person of ambiguous gender. Sometimes I thought it was a man, sometimes I thought it was a woman. It was very odd, still not sure. I think that's where the diary picks up. So let's just get into the reading, Cecil. If you'd just like to read out the date there, that date. There, carry on, thank you.
The 4th of March, Paul's day off.
Yes, I awoke at 9:38. A.M. by the she-he stroking my hair. I freaked out and very nearly punched it. I'm not used to being touched at all, let alone when I'm being roused from a beautiful dream. I think at the time I was dreaming about an antiques roadshow. I never seem to dream about daytime television or light entertainment. I once had a dream about slipping down Bruce Forsyth's chin, but that was erotic and worrying. Anyway... The he-she was dressed as a girl, so I thought it would be politically incorrect to punch it. So I didn't. It was stroking my hair, as I said, but it was also singing to me. What was it singing? I think it went... Wake up, wake up, wake up, you sleepy head. Come on, get out of bed. The sun said hello. Oh, it's time to go. Come here, I'll hug you and brush your hair into an afro. What was the next line? Well, I'll never know because I realised what was happening. You know, some vast ladyboy stroking my hair and singing to me. You know, unwarranted. You know, I didn't consent to that. So I jumped out of bed and bed. And there was some bread in my bed because I'd been having a midnight feast of a loaf of bread. And I jumped up and shouted, leave me alone. I don't want some disgusting fat man dressed as a woman singing me sexy songs in the style of Toya and touching my round head unwarranted. No, leave me to your... Now leave me, you chubby tub of male hideousness. And then it started waddling away and I'm sure it was crying. Like a baby would. Ooh, the he-she is very sensitive. I looked at Mum and Dad's beds. That's two single ones, obviously. But they weren't there. Yes, of course, today's their anniversary. And they said they wanted to spend it alone. But yet, together with each other, you know. It's quite touching, really. But in many ways, it's a bit sickening. So I had a day off on my own in finals. So what did I do with my round self? Well, I'd been given £18.32 pocket money, so I took myself on a day trip to Biddeton, obviously where Christella is. I couldn't go and see Christella because it'd be too painful to see her there and not be able to go in. You know, I don't have house keys, not allowed them. So I went to see if Tony was there, but Tony wasn't in. I went to see Eugene. I spelt it engine in the diary. I went to see Eugene. He wasn't in, nor was anybody else. I saw Toby Wilde, the midget. I didn't go around to see him. No, I was going to the pawn shop. Not the sexy pawn, the where you sell cheap shit and it's full of DVDs. But I saw him from it. It was on the other side of the road. I don't think he saw me. So, you know, I didn't make eye contact with him because I don't really like him. He frightens me a little bit. His fingers are very stubby. I'm scared he's going to try and insert them into me. So I went to the cinema to see The Wild Thornberrys because the advert said it contained mild peril. It's a film, very old film. Cartoon. Oof. That was the cutting edge. That was the first time I'd ever seen that a film would contain mild peril, which excited me and confused me because I wanted to see what mild peril looked like. I'd never seen mild peril before. It was thrilling, but, you know, only in a mild sort of nature. It was like, oh no, they're all right. It was fun. Anyway, and then I went to play on some arcade machines, but and I was doing fine, but then some youths came and stood too close to me. So I had to walk off. And then I went and found a game of Street Fighter 2. Remember that? Street Fighter 2. But then, as I was playing it, some youth just came up and put 50p in. And a new challenger appeared, it said. And then he took over as one of the characters. I think he was Ryu or Ken. And then he just started beating me up virtually, digitally. And then he killed me. And he never said a word, never looked at me, never asked if he could join in. And then he just killed me and then just carried on playing and I was knocked out, so I had to go. And that genuinely did happen to me. It was well embarrassing. Didn't know what to do with myself. I thought, hey, up, that's odd. I just sort of walked off, dejected. It's about 3:59 p.m. I got the train back to Filey, but I was ever so tired after the walking around. And I fell asleep on the train. And I slept on the train. Then I slept on the train some more. And then I woke up when I was being shaken by a tramp because I was in Sheffield, where scum live. That's where I am now. I'm writing this in my diary. Luckily, I kept it in my breast pocket in case Mum or Dad tried to read it on holiday. Oof. It's weird in Sheffield. Hate it. I'm all alone. I feel like Alan Sugar, just lost in the wild. Like in a forestry or something, but he's got no Nick and Margaret to help him and give him advice in that. I think the tramps nicked my wallet. All my money's gone. All I've got on me is this pen / diary and my clothes. I'm tired and I'm frightened and I'm a little bit cold. I'd ring the operator on the telephones, but I don't know the name / number / location or colour of the B&B we're staying at in Filey. Something to do with something, but I can't remember what. Don't know what to do with myself. This place is mega dead super ace scary. And that's the scariest level of anything can possibly get. It's horrifying. There's loads of people, and I'm sure I saw an ethnic. It's 11:58 at night now, and I'm going to go sleep in a large yellow gas pipe. I've seen a lot of them cut up as if they're going to be put in the ground at some point, but one of them's got an end, so it looks a bit like a large yellow cocoon. I hope in a few days I can look back on this traumatic experience and laugh, but I bet I can't. Oh, my poor boy. Don't ad lib, Cecil, just read the dates, please. Got a lot to get through. Sorry. 5th of March. Today was my first full day in Sheffield. I woke up at 6:30 in the morning. Luckily, I'd put my Ben-Hur digital watch on yesterday, and they hadn't stolen it. I woke up so early because Woffington's McWoffington's. By the power of editing. start that again. My first full day in Sheffield. I woke up at 6:30 a.m. this morning. Luckily, I'd put my Ben-Hur digital watch on yesterday, so I knew exactly what time it was. I wasn't just guessing. I woke up so early because A, I was so cold. Oh, it was freezing. And two, there was a slug in my mouth. I tried to get the train back to Filey, but they've got this weird ticket-based door turnstile thing that means if you haven't got a ticket, you can't even touch, look, or spot, or lick a train. You can't even get anywhere near them. So no train ride home for this chunky boy without the £28 fare. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Excuse me. At noon, I wandered to the city centre. I was so hungry, I just went up to complete strangers and said, "Please, can I have £5 for my lunch? I'm absolutely starving." And no one gave me a penny. They just sort of looked at me and said, with their eyes, they said, "I don't think so. Hello, look at the size of you. There's no way you could be starving." That was just a black sassy woman that I spoke to, and she did that clicky thing with her fingers. She were very sassy. In the end, I went to the local Tesco's, and I was utterly deranged from lack of food, and I started hallucinating that the sprouts and the onions were like covered in sugar and icing, and they looked like something from The Simpsons. So I just jumped at them and ate them. It's been a long time since I've had a starvation hallucination. Very long time. Bizarre. A bizarre thing to undergo, and it's not entirely pleasant. It sounds fun, but it's not, because they're all screaming at you and they're all judging you for your lifestyle choices, all the foods, looking down the nose at you just because you haven't got a job yet, and you never will have. Two oranges looked at me like they were angry at me because I'd never held a girl's hand, so I just headbutted them. But they weren't oranges; they were just two women that had come back from the tanning salon. Oof, the Tesco staff threw me out without any charges. At about 2:15, I saw a man waddling down the street, drunk as you like. He had a hook for a hand, and one eye had an eye patch on, and on one of his legs he had a huge orthopaedic shoe. And that's when it reminded me. Of course, Auntie Beryl. She lives in Sheffield. Oh, bibbidoop. She lives in Sheffield, and I've come to her gaff right now. She's making me my fourth cup of tea. And by tea, I don't mean that pathetic excuse of hot watery drink. I mean eggs, ham, sausage, goose, waffles, rusks, beer, liver, and some all bran for the fibery times. Mum and Dad haven't phoned me up yet to Mum and Dad haven't phoned me up yet, so we're going to wait until tomorrow to see when Aunt Beryl reckons at that post. That's a very poorly written sentence. Wi-Fi, I've got a mobile phone. Have I not just rung up Mum and Dad? I don't understand that sentence. I'm going to read it to you anyway, as written, just so you can be as confused and frightened as I am. Mum and Dad haven't phoned me up yet, so we're going... spelt wrong. We're going to wait until tomorrow when Auntie reckons that the postcard from Mum will arrive, and she reckons it will be a postcard of the B&B, so we can get the phone number from that.
You see, what you have to remember, Paul, is that 2003, telephones were not the information superhighway injection system that they are now. They were green screen, pixelated bullshit. They were just a telephone with a text if you were lucky.
Oh, it's only to shout, Cecil. Could have just rung up direct inquiries.
Not if you had no credit.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, shut up. Leave me alone. I'm getting back to my Dear Diary readings. I love my Aunt Beryl so much. Even if she does try to tickle me with a hook for a hand, it barely scratches at all once she puts the cork on the end. 6th of March. I was woken up again at 6:30 in the morning. Aunt Beryl was kicking me in asleep. She's only got the one double bed, no sofa or floor space. You know, what with a plethora of jigsaws vying for every inch of her house. At 10:45, I'm very keen to put the times in everything, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Cool. Awesome. At 10:35, the postman came, and sure enough, there was the postcard from Mummy and Daddy. And yes, Beryl was right. It was of the B&B. It was four pictures taking up a quarter of, you know, the front of the postcard. It's quite nice, actually. Upper left was a picture of one of the bedrooms. Lower left was a man in the rear yard doing a bit of sweeping. Upper right was just of a toilet for some reason. And lower right was a plug-in kettle. Very dated, very dated. All from the 70s by the looks of it. The B&B is called the Tarby Arms on account of a Tarby lookalike once stayed there for 3 nights. Jimmy Tarbuck, of course, we know that now. The postcard reads, "We're in Filey. It's cold and ineffectual, just like our honeymoon. Thank you. Bye, Margaret." Huh. So I've been gone for 2.5 days and they've not even made a mention of me missing. Right, when I'm going to stay at Auntie Beryl's till they ring up looking for me.
7th of March.
Oh, Beryl. Auntie Beryl. Such a violent sleeper. And black and blue all over. She keeps saying it's by accident, but I know it's not. She's kicked me in the face more times than I care to mention. I don't know how she does it, because we don't sleep top to tail. We sleep next to each other, cuddled up. It's a bit awkward, if you ask me. Well, more than a bit awkward. Very awkward. Oh, I've clicked on the wrong thing, Cecil. Well, I'm going back to Filey now. And how? Well, Mum phoned up her sister, obviously Aunt Beryl, and foolishly I picked up the phone. Don't know what I was thinking. Obviously wasn't thinking. Mum claimed that she was ringing around to see if people had seen me, but I think she was just phoning to make a mockery out of her sister for having the eye patch on. She always rings to do this on a Friday. She rings up Beryl to mock some affliction that she's got, because Margaret, obviously being her identical twin, doesn't have those afflictions. It's the only way you can tell them apart is by the hook for her hand. I'm on the train now. Quite a teary bye-bye from Beryl. She gave me my train fare and 50p spending money. She lives in a different world. She still talks in money and in the old-fashioned ways, like, "Oh, a tin of tongue, 7 and 6. You could have a weekend out on 2 and a quarter. Bye, look, this spice is nice. I'll buy it for 6 halfpennies and a tuppence and 4 shilling, I think, something like that. I haven't got a clue what she's talking about. Puh, I got cat hair in my mouth. Dad does the same. He says, "Here's 2 bob, spend it wisely on a fortnight in Folkestone." I said, "Well, that's 30p, Cecil. Don't you?"
"I have never once done that, you ageist."
"Not an ageist, Cecil."
"You are an ageist. I've seen you looking at me with a look of disgust."
"Yeah, that's because you've usually got soup down your chin. Can't stand looking at you when you're eating, Cecil. It makes me feel sick."
"Shut up."
Anyway, I'm back at the bed and breakfast now. The she-he was there dressed as the boy this time. It stank. It didn't seem happy to see me, I tell you that for nout. I think I must have offended it when I shouted at it when it was stroking my head when I was asleep. Tea was a consolation fish and chip. Mum and Dad patted my head and said, "There, there, it's nice to have you back." But they said it sarcastically. I'm sure they did. Anyway, I'm going to bed now. I've had quite the adventure.
8th of March.
We go home on Tuesday. So only 3 full days left of Filey fun. Pa's promised me a full day out of... Pa has promised me a full day of fine. Pa has promised me a full day of fun out in Filey to get over my fantastic ordeal. He's taking me out after breakfast. Oh, I hope that he/she isn't serving. Ah, me God. It's not a he/she. It's a set of bloody twins. One's a chubby boy one, one's a chubby girl one. And they were both serving breakfast. My God, she's got a masculine voice and facial hair. When I told them both of my mistake, they both forgave me, and the girl one and me are going out for the night on the brig or doing the tune, whichever's more interesting in the Filey. You know, she's a Filey local. She's going to know what's more interesting to do in Filey, isn't it? Can't believe it. I'm going out for a full day of fun with Cecil, and then I'm going out for a date with a butch woman. Ooh. My day out with Cecil and Margaret begins now. We're going to Kinderland. Dad's going to get me a Coke drink. Oh, we're there now. I'm sat at a table. I love this place. Kinderland. It's amazing. What's happening?
9th of March.
Everyone here in Kinderland is being held hostage. There's bastards with guns and shit. We've all been huddled together in the cafe now. There's about 30 of us. No children. They got let out. Which is ironic given it's Kinderland. The land of Kinder. But not delicious, delicious chocolate with a toy inside. Just it's land of children. It's obviously where you'd find it in Scarborough. It's where Sir Jimmy Savile comes and preys upon his... Anyway. Are being held by about 8 people, all of which have previously worked here in Kinderland. We don't know what they want yet, but there's police outside. We're in a siege. Everyone except us hostages have guns. Oof. Just had to go to the toilet. They talk about a group of five people at a time. I went with Cecil, wouldn't go with Mum. But oh, giddy lord, did Cecil poo-poo. Oof. They'd broken the doors off the cubicles so they could make sure that we weren't, you know, fashioning a weapon from the loo roll and some solidified stool. Cecil was in there for 38 minutes. He just couldn't stop pooping. We've all been there. You know, he lived through World War II, but for some reason when someone points a gun at his face, he gets all scared and becomes a one-man sewer works. It's disgusting. Cecil's never watched a film, as far as I'm aware. He might have, I'm not sure. But if there's one thing I know about people being held hostage, it's some chunky, masculine ball of blubber's going to have a go at having a go hero. If that's what you call them, and I think that's going to be me. You know, that person usually takes over the hostage taker, nicks the gun, and then wins the day. And more often than not, they get the girl. Maybe I'll try that later, but ooh, it's dinner time now, or at least it will be very soon. I'm going to offer to help make the lunch, see if I can find anything useful in the kitchen. I will become a have-a-go hero. Ooh, right, we're just being taken into the kitchen now. Found a tub of catering butter.
Just an aside, dear diary listeners, this is where the real diary went wrong. You see, Paul had smeared butter all over it because he was writing it with hand. It wasn't a dictaphone one, this bit. It becomes see-through. So if the pages that Paul's about to read make no sense, it's because they've got butter smeared all through them.
Well, we can't help it, Cecil. I can't help it. It's not my fault, is it? Eh? I just got too carried away. Thought I was going to die anyway, so, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, that's what I always say.
Yes, well, carry on anyway with the reading.
Well, I do. Catering butter. Pretty sure it's just a margarine, if I'm being honest with you, but it gets the job done. Well, I formulated a have-a-go-hero plan. Okay, Paul, this is where all those years of playing computer games and watching action films pays off. I'm going to wait until the next toilet trip. Then when Cecil's bowels erupt, I'm going to go talk to the guard who's watching us. Then when I've made them laugh with one of my off-the-cuff quips, like, why did the chicken cross the road? Because it was scared of a noise it heard. you know, I've got them off guard. Then what I do is, because we're stood close to where Cecil's poo-pooing, I suddenly thrust my hand into the toilet bowl of Cecil's fecal matter eruption and grab a handful of Cecil's dung and just ram it, cram it and shove it down the guard's mouth and nose. And then when he passes out, I'll wait for the next one to come. Then I'll wrestle them to the ground and do the same thing over and over again. Then I'll grab the weapons and run out and make all the other evil hostage takers give up their guns. Then I'll phone the police outside and say, "Officer, it's okay. Sergeant Paul Fax, your good buddy on the inside, has saved the day. 10 Roger 4, over and out." And then some young women will appear, and we'll do some surf dancing that they do in the 50s. I'm sure we will. That's what will happen. Someone's got to do something, though. I'm going to be a have-a-go hero. I've got it in within me. I know I have. No one else is going to do it. Mum just keeps talking to them, trying to make friends with them. And then everyone else is just acting scared. I think Mum's trying to befriend them because she you know, she sympathises with the cause. Because she says she's oppressed, but she's not. She's just miserable. Depressed, if anything. Anyway, there's a toilet trip going in 5 minutes. Here we go. I'm not pooing. I've been shot. The plan failed terribly. I didn't even make it to the poo-poo. I feel faint, weakened, such pain. I can feel the bullet inside me, tearing, shredding, cutting, burning my every inch of flesh is asunder, wrenched in twain. Oh, I fade. I want to leave everything to Teddy Watkins. Oh, such pain. Oh, no. I fade. I'm trying to force a trump out before I go. No, March. Don't sound so chirpy, Cecil. Shut up. 10th of March. I've been shot. My life flashed before my eyes, and it went like this. 1. Born in Paul Shane's stand-up show, at the point where he's singing a song and going bleh, 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 on Unchained Melody song. And by the way, that's where the Paul comes from in my name. I was named after Paul Shane. And it's where the Shane comes from in my name. Age of 1, I had baby fat. Drank milk from a vinegar bottle for some reason, don't know why. Age of 2, I learned to walk, talk and impersonate Peter Falk. That's the man who plays Columba. Apparently I'd walk around in my nappy and just sort of go up to Cecil and then ask him questions. And like, "Why, Daddy? Why is your foot that swollen? Why, what, can I use a telephone?" Then I'd walk off. Then I'd just slowly, "Oh, and then one more thing, Cecil." And then I'd ask him another question like Columbo does. I think that's Columbo, might be wrong, don't know. And then from the ages of 3 to 24, which is when this diary was written, I just ate and put on weight and never mind. It was quite good, actually, seeing your life flash before the eyes. Like going to the cinema, but it really happened. It was very believable acting. but the story was incredibly dull. And nowhere near as erotic as I would like. Anyway, yes, I've been shot. Fortunately, it was only through the giant pimple I had on my forehead. The crater it left made it look like I'd been shot in the brain. But no, it was just spot pus squirting out. And not just squirting out and dribbling down my face into my eye, but such gargantuanness was the volcano of pus that came out. It sprayed into people's faces, mouths and eyes. We're still being held hostage, but they're being nice now. I think they know that I might try and be have a go hero again, and they're a bit scared of me. Today, tea was one whole bag of sugar each. I'm in absolute heaven. I absolutely love living in Kinderland. Boodly poo, the things are at the hostage's hand, and the poo and stabbed a man, but then he wasn't dead because it was really rather soft fecal matter. Don't know why I'm stabbing everyone with poo, but you know, never mind.
Yes, now that's all she's written for this week. So that's nice for you to listen to, isn't it? Join us next week when... I'm not telling you, otherwise you'll know, won't you?
True. Bye-bye, have a nice week. Love you.
Paul.